times do you spend in the garden with him alone? Just praying and meditating. Just call his name. It'll be there. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? So we're glad to be here tonight. Now remember, Saturday, Wade will make the announcements and everything. Get everything ready for the youth banquet or a youth thing Saturday, getting it all together and finishing it and all. And just remember the brother Glover will be ministering then there, but he'll minister for this next Sunday, or I mean this Sunday, for the morning and evening service. Remember that. Now, Brother Forney has kind of tentatively let us know that we may be going to dedicate his church week after next, but there's no definite thing yet. If it is, we'll let you know. We'll just have to swap some of the brothers around, let them minister for us, and we'll go up and dedicate his church because he wants us to do that. So you just pray for him. He's really having a lot of problems and troubles, and pray that the Lord would bless him. A lot of this old stuff passing around, you know, the people of the message now and picking up, and just remember each one, pray that the Lord would bless and all like that. Let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes to minister the word of the Lord unto us. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you. Shining in the light of your glory. You love him tonight. Oh, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy.
You are holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Middle of the week service. This is what I like. I like that middle of the week service. Kind of gets you over. They call it the hump day. So, well, we just call it another day to serve the Lord. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to see you smiling faces. Good to have you back. Good to have everybody at their post of duty. And we ready to go. Amen. And Brother Ray, you've already got your answer, so I don't have to answer you again. We are live streaming, so. But we will start at 11 o'clock, for those of you that want to come, 11 o'clock Saturday morning. And Brother Andrew Glover will be here, be a regular service. Brother Luis will be doing the song leading, and Brother Andrew Glover will be here with us. And then after the service, however how long it goes, he says he's had a real, not a burden, but he's had a real joy to be able to come down here and speak to y'all, speak to all of us this weekend. So he's looking forward to it. I don't think he's ever preached here before. I don't think. He's just a young kid. When I first met him, he was so young, Brother Bill. He was going to Bill Yonce's church, and he was so young, Brother Bill had to drive him around to preach at people's churches because he didn't have his driver's license. Yeah. And Brother Bill let you know that real quick. So, but he's grown up now. He's got a wife, and they're coming to be with us. And he's not grown up. He better not raise his hand up because he's probably about 6'5" or so. So he's a big kid, but, it'd be good to have him. But we're going to have dinner afterwards. Everybody that was there Sunday, we know our jobs. We know what to do. Anybody else that's here wants to pitch in, We won't stop you at all. We'll be serving spaghetti and meatballs and salad and rolls and whatever desserts y'all, some of you are going to bring. So just pray for us. If you're not going to be here, remember to pray for us. Amen. And then we'll all be real careful. We got our sanitizing going on, and we'll have people at every door, and we'll still do the same thing that we're doing now. So, and also the regular service will be Sunday at 10 and 2. So Sunday's not changing anything. Sunday afternoon will be a youth service, just like a regular first Sunday youth service. And, it'll be conducted at 2:00. So remember that. There'll be no Bible study this week because of the July 4th, meeting. And also communion will be postponed at least 1 week, now maybe two. Because Brother Jewel called me a couple of days ago and wants Dad and I, not me to dedicate, but wants me to come with him to the dedication of his new church, which could be Sunday after this one coming up. But we will let you know. We were supposed to know a little bit today, and Brother Chris must have got caught up and didn't call us. But just remember us in your prayers. We'll know before July the 12th what to do. So, Brother Bob, some of y'all need to hang loose because maybe y'all will be doing Sunday service. And don't get all nervous now. So just remember, though, remember Brother Jewel, though, you can hardly hear him talk. His voice is just not good. So he just sounds weak. So pray for him. Pray for all the ministers around the message, all the ministers around the world, because it looks like Satan's attacking all the ministers. Brother Homer, they've diagnosed him with COPD, and he has to use whatever those things are. A what?
Inhaler.
An inhaler. Okay. So just remember, he's attacking the ministry. If he knows if he can get us, then he can get everybody else. So we're just going to make sure that we keep that thing out of the way. Also, Brother Trevor Emmons is going to be with us on July the 26th. He'll be doing the second service that day for us. And there may be another service that weekend that me and Brother Dale may go to. So we'll see. We'll find out if Brother Jewel's going to have another service when Brother Chris Long's going to be there. So just keep those in your prayer. Keep us in your prayer right now, because we need to get started with this. I've been going through the feast. We've been through this before. But, man, this time you just look at things, and I hope that we can present it in the way that we got it. And that it will... it will help you, because it's all about our walk with God. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's you walking with God. It was the children of Israel walking with God. So if you'll break it down to that, and then let's just, you know, look at these dates and see that God wanted these done on a certain time. So if he wanted them done on a certain time, then he had a plan and a purpose, as Brother Dale said, a plan and a purpose for all of us, and for us to what? Worship here in a church. That's what he set up for a long time ago. And I don't know why a man's trying to break it, but this man's not going to break it, and I know this man's not going to break it. So I believe in going to church. Jesus went to church. The Bible says as his custom was, he was in the temple, being the Word himself, and he still went to the temple. He still honored these feast days. A lot of times you'd see Jesus in there, and then we're going to see that he was in the Feast of Unleavened Bread while he was in the temple. And he raised up and said, I'm the bread of life. Well, you can eat all that you want to, but I'm the one that you eat of this, you'll never have to eat anymore. Amen. You'll never hunger or thirst again. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. I pray that you'd be with us through the furtherment of this service. Father, we've sung songs. We've took the offering. Lord, we've done prayer requests. And now, Lord, we desire to hear from you, Lord. And we pray that you would just be with us during this service time. Be the active participant, Lord. Be the speaker. You be the one that does the revelation, because without you, there is no revelation, Father. Lord, just be with each one. Take care of us. Be with the ones that are sick. All the ministers, Lord, that are battling this COVID and all the different things, and all the people in the world, Lord, we still pray that you would stay this thing, Father, just for the human race, Lord, because we are still a part of that human race. We're not set aside. Sure, we're special people. We're the bride of Jesus Christ, but we're still living in this world. And we hate to see the world go through the problems and the things that they're going through. But Lord, you said, told us many years ago, through a little prophet, that all this was going to happen. And Lord, we're reading tomorrow's news today. So it's not anything, Lord, that we're surprised. But Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. Strengthen our faith and take away the fear, that we'll come to the knowledge of the truth and a revelation to get us out of here, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now this is the feast of the Lord, and we're going to back up a minute on the feast of Passover. But let's read Leviticus 23, verse 1. Now these are the feast of the Lord. All right, not the feast of Israel. These are the Lord's feast. He's going to tell you that. Has everybody got that? Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feast. All right, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. On holy convocation you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now that's the Sabbath day. All right. That wasn't a feast day. He's telling them though that every 7 days you're going to have a holy convocation. You're not going to work. They call it the Sabbath, right, or sabbatical, or you take time off. All right. And it has nothing to do with the feast, but it is included in the feast if it falls on a certain day, and we're going to see that in just a minute. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Each feast had a season to be proclaimed in. You and I can't live by Luther's message. We can't live by Wesley's message. We have to live by the message of the hour. That's the message that we were given, all right? So that's, we see that it is proclaimed in our season to take a body change. It's proclaimed in our season to see a resurrection, as the prophet was telling us a few minutes ago about that, about the body chain. All right. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. Now that's where we got to Sunday, but now here we go on verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month, which is the day after, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now I had a problem. Do not ever put in unleavened bread. You won't get any hits. It's unleavened, unleavened. It's got a D on it. Because Brother Bob, I said, I know it says unleavened bread. I know it says it in the Bible, and it says zero. You got to put in unleavened bread. Okay, so the Bible's always right. We're the ones that get all crazy trying to find everything. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days. Now, this is a seven-day feast. You must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no, and that word servile means service work. The garbage people didn't work. McDonald's wasn't open. You understand what I'm saying? All you did was fix food. And that's it. You could fix food, prepare food for a meal, but that's all you could do. All right. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day. Now the first day was a holy convocation. You didn't do anything. No servile work. All right. Then you went back to work and did the things you were going to do, regular things, but you still had to eat unleavened bread. But on the seventh day, now there's a tithe there, on the seventh day, you're going to do the same thing you did on the first day. You're going to have a cold holy convocation, and you're not going to do any work. Everybody got that? But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. You may be seated, and the Lord has blessing for the reading of the word. If y'all would pull up that chart that y'all so graciously found. Tonight we're going to speak on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but we want to back up for a minute to the Feast of Passover. Now, that's what we were talking about the other day. Can you see this in the back? You see it okay? I mean, enough to know. This is the months of the year, just like our calendar, January, February, March, April, May, all the way through. But remember, Our calendar is Gregorian or Julian calendar. This is the original calendar of the Jews or of Israel. Everybody got that? Say amen. And God told them, and when we were talking about Passover, and we'll read it in a few minutes, in Exodus, he said, on the first day of the month, which is Nisan, of your year, will be when your year begins, which is right here, Nisan, right here. All right, and it goes for 12 months. And it's a lunar calendar. It goes by the vernal equinox. It does not go by 31 days, 29 days, 30 days, like we just went through June the 30th yesterday, and Mama thought we were still in June today. But there's only 30 days in June. But what does that do, as we were talking about Sunday, that's why we have a leap year, because the world is tilted. Because of the flood, the world tilted off of its axis. We know that by being in school. And it wobbles. Well, when it wobbles, it doesn't stay exactly 30 days like it did when the world was straight up before the flood. They had 30 days in a month, 12 months to a year, and 360 days. Right. Now, we got into all that in Daniel 70 weeks, and it's a real good study, but we're not going to get into that at the moment. We'll wait till later and bring it right back into here and put it in the feast days. So when the priests would come up to the month Adar, and they would look and see the moon, and the moon was at a certain stage, if it was at a stage that they needed more time, they just added another month. Because if you don't, the same way with our leap years, what was happening is, this thing kept going on and going on, and what was happening is they were, these spring feasts, now see, these are spring feasts. If you keep going like you're going and don't adjust it, these start moving.
Right.
Then they become summer feasts. These become winter feasts. Everything got out of kilter and out of order. And as we were talking about, when we were talking about Daniel 70 weeks, either Julius Caesar or Pope Gregory I, they had to add a huge amount of days.
Right.
Backwards or forwards to try to get everything back, because what was happening is Easter was being celebrated in July and August,
right,
because of the way that the world was tilted. So what happens here with them, they keep their calendar. We're into like 5,767th day. That's the way the Jews keep it, from the day of creation.
Right.
And remember, one more time, the Bible says the evening and the morning is the first day.
Amen.
A Jewish day begins at 6 p.m.
Right.
Our 6 p.m. begins a new day.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
Because this is going to be important. Because we talk about when Jesus went to the Passover, and when all these things were going on, they had to get him off the cross before 6 o'clock going into the Sabbath, because it was a high Sabbath.
Right.
It was going to be unleavened bread, and it was going to be the Sabbath day. So that's called a high Sabbath. We'll get into that in a little bit. But the priests look at the moon, and they say, no, we need another day. Or they say, everything's fine. This will be the first day. So that's what the priests, that's what they did, besides all the other things they did. They kept the calendar running right. Thank God, when we get in the millennium,
right,
this thing's going to be standing straight back up, and we won't need nobody to walk out there and look at the moon. No, it'll be 360 days a year, 30 days to a month, and the world will be right stuck back up the way it's supposed to be.
Glory.
Amen. A type of me and you kind of being all out of kilter.
Right, right.
Amen. So Passover was on the 14th day of Nisan, the first day. So this is the first day of the Jewish religious calendar. Now, if you look it up somewhere else and you say, no, they said July. That's the civil calendar.
Yeah.
Their civil calendar starts different from their religious calendar.
Amen.
So we're talking about tonight religious calendar. Their religious calendar starts at Nisan or Abib 1. So when we read this next one, go ahead and pull it back up. Where it says Exodus 12, verse 1, go to Passover. Because you see, Passover's here on the 14th. We're going to talk about unleavened bread on the 15th. All right? So when the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. So who set this calendar up? God himself set this calendar up.
Amen.
Man didn't do it. God said, this is going to be your first month.
Right.
When you get ready to eat the Passover, and when you get ready to leave Egypt, because I'm fixing to go through the land, and I'm going to take all the firstborn, and I'm going to show them, in other words, who's in control.
Right.
All right. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and shall be the first month of the year to you, which is Nisan or Abib. You can see it two different ways. Now, remember, you say, no, that's April the 1st. Remember, it's March, April. So you, it doesn't go with our calendar, so you can't leave it to say, well, that was the month of April. No, it's March, April. Because remember, you bounce back and forth. 1 month back here, 1 month up here. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb. So you, Nisan 1, you count 10 days, you had to find you a lamb. For one lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now every lamb back then had to have a house. Now we didn't cover this Sunday, but that's a type we know of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a personal relationship. You gotta know that Christ died for you. Right. He didn't die for Brother Dale.
Right. Right.
He died for me.
Amen.
So that lamb, every lamb in a house, so every house had to get a lamb.
Right.
And they had to depend on that lamb's blood over the doorpost.
Right.
But now remember, as they go on through their journey, when the temple's established, there's only one lamb that's slain at Passover. Not every house.
Right.
Why? They're already in the journey.
Yep.
It's one lamb per house. We'll get into that later on, into the journey. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Now, this is a natural thing, because you got to eat the thing, you got to eat it up.
Right.
So if there's only two in the house, it's a pretty good possibility that Brother Ray and Sister Kathy couldn't eat a whole lamb.
Yeah.
Amen to that, he's in. So his neighbor would get together and they would eat it. That's a natural thing, because God had to give them a natural setting. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. In other words, got to be the firstborn. All right. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day. So from the 10th day to the 14th day, you're going to put this lamb up and you're going to examine it. Make sure there's no bruises. Make sure there's no hair missing. Make sure this thing has got no broken bones, that everything's right. Amen? And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Right.
All right? Amen? When did they kill Jesus Christ? In the evening.
Right.
Wasn't in the morning, it was in the evening.
Right.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door, making the sign of the cross,
yeah,
and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. Every household had to eat that lamb.
Amen.
Jesus stood up and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. Well, we know what he meant by that. He didn't mean us to be cannibals, but he meant for us to give the communion. All right? Everybody got that? And it's not grape juice and soda crackers. That's almost blasphemous. We take wine, and the unleavened bread is made by holy hands.
Right.
So that's the way it's instituted, and that's just the way we do it. Because wine gets better as it gets older. Grape juice, put grape juice outside and let it, you can put grape juice in the refrigerator, and 2 weeks later it's sour. Well, that's not typing the blood of Jesus Christ in the Word of God, but wine gets better with age. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread. Now watch. Stop right here for a second, because like we were talking about Sunday, and we'll talk about it again today, the Feast of Unleavened Bread literally begins on the night of the Passover. It's included, but it's separate. Because you don't kill this Passover lamb except one day.
Right.
But you do eat unleavened bread. And I've been reading some commentaries of some of the Greek, the Orthodox Jewish people. And they actually start on the 13th day getting all this ready.
Yeah.
Start cleaning the house out. Start doing. Because when you eat unleavened bread, when you go into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you got to clean your house out. That's what we're going to talk about today. You got to clean your house out.
Right.
All right? So, but you start with eating unleavened bread. And let me tell you something a little about unleavened bread before we get started. You know, unleavened bread literally can be any bread if it's cooked 18 minutes by the time you need it. Neat, K-N-E-A-D. Do you know that air is yeast? Air makes bread rise. It don't have to be literal yeast. Air can make bread rise if you wait over 18 minutes. So anyway, this type is look, you got to fix this thing real quick, put it in the oven, bake it, keep it from leavening. Keeping it from leavening, bake it real quick because you know what? We're going to get out of here.
Right.
And I was reading one commentator and he said they not only just ate it during this time, he said they ate it until the manna fell. I didn't think about that, but you got to think, everywhere they went, they kept moving. They couldn't sit there and knead that dough and put the yeast in and knead it for over 18 minutes. No, they slapped that baby on a pan and they fried it and then they left and went to the next place. Same way with me and you. We need to keep moving.
Right.
When you know what leaven does? Y'all eat bread at about 12:30 on Sunday, and guess what? About 2:15, 2:30. Right?
Right?
Amen to that. Everybody should say that. Those of you that are awake.
Right.
Eat not. So unleavened bread, you have to eat it on the Passover. It's included in the unleavened bread. We'll see it in a minute. But the Passover is a different day. It's included in, but Passover is one thing you got to kill that lamb. You don't kill that same lamb for the 7 days. Because look, Jesus Christ died one time.
Exactly.
Once for all.
Right.
And then we start the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right.
All right, so you got to keep your types running. If you have a problem, go back and read. Go back and read the Bible. The Bible pretty much explains it all. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertness thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That's what we do. You know, Dad, being coming from the Baptist church, I used to remember them getting those little white, puffy-looking little cracker things. And we would use 40 or 50 of them, and then Mom and Daddy put it back in the freezer. That wasn't even Bible. That ain't Bible. The Bible says you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. When we get finished taking communion, you'll see Brother Terrence wrap that thing up in that aluminum foil and he gives it to me and I stick it in my pocket. And when I go to the house, I go outside and I fire my little cooker up and I burn that stuff and it smells, but I don't care. That's what I got to do.
Right.
But I burn it where it's unrecognizable, where you can't use it the next day. But that's what the Bible tells us. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth, you shall burn with fire. All right, so that's exactly what we do. We try to stay with the Bible as much as we can. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Right.
For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you, to you, for a token.
Right.
A token that something had died.
Amen.
And they had done what God told them to do.
Right.
And the death angel comes through the land and he looks at the door. And if he sees the blood, he doesn't see any sin in there. He takes off. And he goes to the next place. And I was reading when it said, doesn't matter, prophet, priest, king. It didn't matter who you were on that night.
Right.
If you were outside that blood token.
Exactly right.
If you were walking around in the street or you were overlooking it, visiting somebody else's friend or doing something you wasn't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I hope you're getting this.
Yeah.
Right.
The death angel struck you.
Right.
Because he struck the very king of Egypt.
Right.
The very Pharaoh. The very Pharaoh that you'd think had the most protection in the world. That death angel came right through that door, went right under the door, and took the life of that firstborn of the Pharaoh. So it hit home. God says, hey, nobody. Nobody is exempt from this. You must be covered by the blood.
Glory.
Today, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are not covered by this blood. Amen? So you are subject to, when the death angel comes by your house, I don't care if it's spiritual death or natural death, if he don't see the blood, he won't pass. You will. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it's called the Passover. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it. Think about that. Think about, here we see this group of people that God loves them. He's plagued the whole of the world almost. But it takes death. It takes death to turn that Pharaoh to say, let him go. It took God coming in, and I'm sure Pharaoh did. I'm sure Pharaoh said, oh, we're fine, son. We're good. We've got thousands of guards out here, and we've got all these. The god Ra is going to be on our side, and we've burned incense to the priest, and we've... He wasn't covered by the blood. So God took that firstborn, and he'll do the same thing if you're not born again. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Do you know when in the days of the kings, they quit doing this? You know what the first king that brought the Passover back? He's sitting back there in the media room. King Josiah. And there was never a day they said, him, he did it, and then Hezekiah did it. You ought to read in the Bible about what happened Josiah said, we're having a Passover. We're going to get back into doing the right thing. All right? And it caused a revival. Maybe it'll cause a revival in us if we'll see the right thing going on. Amen? So the Passover was on the 14th day of Nisan. They killed it in the evening. Now let's look at the little bullet points right here, and let's see what we're going to, for the Passover, and then we'll continue on into unleavened bread. Everybody okay? Amen. If it's as boring to you, then you go on to the house. I've been rejoicing because I've kind of put myself in with those Jews that was back there 3,000-4,000 years ago, and what they were thinking, and like I said before. Look what they got, though. There stood a prophet. God spoke to Moses. Moses, of course, with Aaron, spoke to the people. Give them instruction. There was an angel to guide them. Pillar of cloud. Fire by night. They had everything. They had a GPS system that never said, recalculating. Hello. Used to get them old tom-toms, them old dum-dums that Terrence had, and we'd be 300 feet past the road, and he'd go, recalculating. It was back yonder. But God's positioning system, his GPS, will never fail. He sent them an angel, and look, he gave them, if they would have realized what they came out under. Their sins were forgiven.
Glory.
They had a lamb. That lamb just didn't die and they just left it alone. No, I read, God said, this is a memorial every year.
Right.
You better remember this because I brought you out of Egypt.
Right.
You didn't just leave of your own accord. I, by a mighty hand, through a prophet and an angel to guide you everywhere you went.
Amen.
And I went ahead and forgive your sins before you even started.
Right.
That's why the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a feast. They should have realized when that Passover was killed, if they'd have realized what was going on, it should have been a real happy time those 7 days.
Amen.
Not just a drudgery, because remember, it became just that.
Right.
Don't ever let that happen to you.
Right.
They say, well, it's the 16th day. We can't eat a thing until that priest comes in here. And the first fruits, we can't eat a thing until he waves I think I'm going to eat a little bit. See, God finally told him, he said, forget your days, forget your feasts, forget all, they're stink to my nostrils. You've made this thing, even Jesus. Jesus walked into the temple and drove them out because they were selling a Passover lamb. Right. They were selling stuff to be sacrificed. Right. Jesus was in church. So the first month was Abib or Nisan, which is March, April. On the 10th day of the month, you put up the lamb. Why did you put the lamb up? You had to inspect that lamb and make sure, because remember, the Lamb of God was what? Without spot or wrinkle.
Glory.
Without spot or blemish.
Right.
He took on our sin. He wasn't sinful.
Right.
He took on our sin. The 10th day, you put that lamb up. And boy, I mean, you protected that thing, because you know what? The death angel was going to pass.
Right.
You make sure, Daddy, that thing don't have a broke leg.
Right. Right.
Make sure, Brother Dale, right, that you tell us the right thing.
Right.
Make sure, Brother Wade. Make sure, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, Brother Luis. Make sure you tell us the right thing.
Right.
Because it means life or death.
Amen.
And they had to kill it in the evening. Each house. You say, oh, we just take what y'all say. You better not.
Right.
You better check it out.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I think the Bible says study to show yourself approved.
Amen.
Okay. Kill it in the evening. I'm going to start meddling like Bob. It's Wednesday night stuff. It's just okay. Kill it in the evening. Every house had to kill a lamb.
Right.
So everybody was covered if they killed a lamb. All right, you had to put the blood over the doorpost, and the death angel came by, and they had to eat unleavened bread, so here they were making the flat bread, and they had to bake it before 18 minutes, so that, because you know what? That, the next time the sun came up, they were leaving.
Right.
It was not another day. The next time the sun came up, if you'll read your Bible, Pharaoh said, Moses, I won't ever see you again. Moses said, you got that right. But he sent Moses word, he said, leave. And it's, the Bible says, they razed, R-A-Z-E-D, they razed Egypt.
Right.
They took furniture and they took gold and they took food. They took everything.
Right.
But you and I, you know what we're going to take? We're going to take this right here.
Glory.
This is what we're taking. When we start our journey and after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after our Passover has been instituted,
right,
you and I are going through some unleavened bread.
Right.
We're going to go through in our journey exactly what the children of Israel went through.
Right.
It had to be the firstborn. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There was your firstborn child. He had to be the first one.
Right.
All right. Jesus Christ I'm talking about, right, in type with your lamb. You had to be ready to go. Listen, when you get born again, you don't just sit down and do nothing.
Right.
That just begins your journey. That just, don't say, okay, I got it. No, you didn't get it. If you got it, you'd be going. You'd be moving. Everything in God is moving. All right? That's why you see those Orthodox Jews, they're at the Wailing Wall doing this. You know why they do that? They say God is in motion. He is not sitting still. This is why they pray. They're praying while they're moving because their God is a moving God. All right? Then you had to have the blood over the door. You and I know that that's a twofold. You have to have the blood over this door, but you need to apply the token at your house.
Right.
At your regular house. You need to do like this right here. See that prayer? You can't see it, but there's a prayer cloth.
Right.
There's one in every door.
Right.
There's one in my house, about all over the place. Two or three in my billfold, two in my car.
Amen.
Stick one on somebody, see what'll happen.
Amen.
We've seen a lot of things happen with the prayer cloth, have we not?
Right.
Amen. Exactly. This place has seen a lot. Seen a man healed of terminal cancer.
Right.
Seen houses and situations just turn around.
Glory.
Seen people get jobs that they want no job. T&M was trying to sell some stuff back there and they got a prayer cloth and I probably took them all down there and put and sold everything. I mean, it's just too much for me to believe that it's
right,
might work. You can't tell me it might work when I saw a man that had 3 months to live with my own eyes.
Exactly.
He had 3 months to live. He had prostate cancer, and it was already in his lymph nodes. Right. Doctor gave him 3 months to live. We were hunting with him in South Carolina, and Daddy gave him a prayer cloth and prayed for him, and he said, Terry, I'll see you in November, and that was in March. He should have been dead in about May or June.
Right.
He lived 9 years.
Right.
Yeah. 9 years.
Yeah.
University of Columbia in South Carolina, don't know what happened.
Right.
His case is probably still open now. He said, they don't know what happened. He said, but I do.
Right.
Try it sometime. May work. I believe it will. So here we are. We've got a group of people that they've got a prophet on the scene to give them instruction. Boy, doesn't that sound good? An angel to guide them and a lamb that's already forgiven them of their sins. And everything outside of that perished. If you're not in the household of God tonight, you will perish. Sorry, that's just, that's, you know, God set it up that way. But you know what? It's real easy. Accept the sacrifice.
Right, amen.
That's all you got to do. All right, let's go to Luke. I think that's the next. What's the next one? Yeah, Luke 22, verse 1. To me, this is why I brought this in here, because this is heading toward Jesus being killed on Passover day. But now watch what they're saying. Watch. Now the feast of unleavened drew nigh, which is called the Passover. That's why I said I want to include, it includes itself in there, but the feast of Passover is a feast. They had to kill the lamb, eat, get ready to leave, put the blood over the door. You didn't have to do that the next day, but they had to eat unleavened bread.
Right.
So they had to get the leaven out of their house, because 7 days they couldn't be. If you were caught with leaven in your house, you were cut off from Israel. That's how serious it was. You said, yeah, just a little piece of yeast.
Yeah. Right.
That's how serious it is when you're cleaning yourself out.
Right.
You can't leave one little piece.
Right.
Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. All right, let's read this quote, Brother Brown. This is beautiful. 1956, witness. Prophet of God tells us, thank God we had a prophet to give us some instruction.
Amen.
And it compares with every scripture in the Bible.
Right.
Many was witnesses of his day. And at his cross when he was dying, the Pharisees, they should have known what the word said. In other words, when the Pharisees were drawing the knife to kill that Passover lamb, the literal physical animal, they were hanging Jesus Christ on the cross.
Right.
The Lamb of God, that they should have known who he was.
Right.
The word gave witness when he was killed. He was a Passover lamb,
right,
killed at the Passover time. He gave witness. The word spoke of him. When he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, when the lame leaped like a hart, it was the word. Oh my, can you receive it? It was the word giving witness, because listen, when we get into this unleavened bread in just a few minutes, unleavened bread always signifies the word.
Right.
I'll read it to you in just a minute. It was the word giving witness, because what, you got to tie the two together. You got to tie Passover with unleavened bread, because Jesus was killed on Passover, and then he was in the grave on Saturday.
Yeah.
Dead. He wasn't dead, but his body was dead. His leaven had died.
Yeah. No.
This is leaven, folks.
Right.
It was the word giving witness that he's been promised to the world, the Savior, the Messiah.
Right.
It give witness to his deity that he was more than a man.
Right.
The night that the seas hushed itself and rocked away like a crying baby hushing in his mother's arms,
right,
when he said, peace,
glory,
be still. It was giving way, nature testifying that he is deity. None other than the Creator himself, not a mere man, not a prophet, but God manifested in flesh.
Glory.
He was God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
So now, but you and I killed the Passover that evening.
Right.
Between 3 and 6 o'clock, he was crucified.
Right.
They had to get him off the cross before 6 o'clock, because why 6 o'clock? It started the new day.
Right.
Their day started at 6 p.m.
Right.
That would have been a Sabbath. They couldn't have took him off the cross until the next Monday almost.
Right.
Because they had an unleavened bread coming up that Saturday, and it was a high Sabbath because they both fell on the same place, same time, and you didn't do anything.
Right.
They'd had to left him on there. That's why they broke the feet of the two thieves on each side, because they weren't dead yet. But God decided when he was going to die.
Right.
Because he said, into thy hands
right.
I commend right. my spirit. Man didn't kill God.
Right.
God gave his life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He gave his life. You and I actually the one that killed him.
Right.
Our sins put him there.
Right. Amen.
But if you'll accept that blood, apply it to your doorpost.
Right. Then
guess what? You're covered. So let's go to unleavened bread. So they had to get Jesus off the cross before 6 o'clock on Friday evening, because 6 o'clock Friday evening started. 6 o'clock Friday evening was starting of Saturday, the Sabbath. So they had to get him off before 6 o'clock. That's why you see what happened. Joseph of Arimathea was there. There wasn't even a tomb. He shows up. He goes and Pilate, I'll take the body. They take him down real quick and they put him in a barred tomb. They didn't even have time. Remember, they just wrapped him up. Because Mary and Martha were coming back on Sunday, because they couldn't come back Saturday because that was a Sabbath. They were coming back Sunday morning.
Oh.
To anoint the body.
Right, amen.
Well, guess what? God had already anointed it.
Right.
He done raised it up and made it glorified.
Right.
He took all the leaven out of that thing and made it unleavened bread. Because you remember, you're still in the feast of unleavened bread. Because it's 7 days. Here we go. Listen, if this don't, this ought to excite you, because that's your journey.
Right.
And if you don't know
right.
how your journey's supposed to be, read that. Because we are spiritually Jews. Amen?
Right.
We're not natural Jews. We don't keep a day.
Right.
Jesus said, come unto me all labor and heavy labor and I'll give you rest.
Right.
Not a day. We celebrate not a Sabbath.
No.
We celebrate Sunday, which is the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection.
Right. Amen.
We have Easter every Sunday.
Right.
We don't need one day of Easter. We know every Sunday we see the resurrection. When you come to church, it ought to be a resurrection.
Right.
Not that you just got to resurrect up out of the bed to get here.
Yeah.
But anyway, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. For some of us, it is a resurrection. The older you get. Right, Brother Boyd? Got to have an out-of-body experience, he said. Okay. I have to get up in shifts. I have to tell my feet to move and then tell my legs to move. And then if they don't, I got to do something. So I'll just get my arms start moving. 7 days. Luis, don't say it, man. You're not even old enough to know. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Keep going, right? 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house.
Right.
For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off.
Right.
In other words, you had to leave the camp. You were cut off from Israel.
Right.
And on the first day there shall be a holy convocation. So Saturday was the first day of unleavened bread according to the time.
Yep.
Everybody got that?
Yep.
All right. Shall be a holy convocation. So they didn't do anything. It was already a Sabbath day.
Right.
So they just rested. Oh, they got rid of that old thing. That man they called a Messiah. He was king of Israel. Why? He's disappeared. He's in a tomb. He's dead. Little did they know. Little did they know. They were fixing to get a surprise the next day. And the first day shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them. Now the first day and the seventh day. Save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. In other words, you cook your food. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Remember, they left the next day. And they left in haste, so they couldn't dough their bread up. It was unleavened. They had to cook it real fast. Hey, listen, 2 million people. 2 million people got up and left one day. Don't you think they took something with them to eat? No, no. They're going, Did you get, hey, Earl, did you get the food? Yeah, they got unleavened bread. Yeah, we cooked it last night. We cooked it this morning. We got a bunch of flatbread. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, listen, they were ready to get out of there. Aren't you ready to get out of this? Aren't you even ready to get out of the old journey you were in and start you a good new journey toward the promised land? And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever.
Right.
See, now in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, now remember that 14th day is the Passover. But you still had to eat unleavened bread. So it's included in unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month. So what is 14 plus 7? 21. Okay. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, and in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Wow, that's really important. Now let's go to the chart real quick. They'll get it up there. So you got the Feast of Passover. Israel ate the Passover. They killed the lamb. They put the blood over the doorpost. The angel comes down and kills all the firstborn that's not covered under the blood. The very next day they leave. They make them a bunch of unleavened bread and they go. All right. So now in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you begin to eat it down here, but you started on the 15th day. Everybody got that? Jesus was killed on Passover. The very next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, like I said, which was a high Sabbath. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Right.
A high Sabbath means that a Sabbath day fell on a holy day. And there was no servile work done on that first day. Then you went 7 days and then you worked 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 7, you took another day off.
Right.
A holy convocation where you do no servile work. Now, many times we look at this, and I'll read what the prophet said in a few minutes. But if you look at this and look at some of the types that we're looking at, remember, it was the first time God told them to do something for 7 days. Passover was one day. Kill the lamb, eat the lamb. Then 7 days, they had a feast. Now, whatever you look at, and we, as believers, know that 7 is the number of what? Completion. All right? So now we come up to the first day, and we've got 7 days to eat unleavened bread. After the Passover was killed, there was 7 church ages. After the Passover was killed, after Jesus Christ died on the cross, several days later on the Feast of Pentecost is when it really started, but as soon as he walked out and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm coming back into you. Amen. That started the church age that Jesus came to do. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven began when he released the life into that 120 in the upper room and started a 7-day feast. Unleavened bread. You say, oh no, every word that was given to every church age was pure and unadulterated. Had no leaven in it at all. Man started putting leaven in it. Man's the one that started adding to and taking from. No, God said, don't add nothing or I'm going to cut you off. It's kind of strange, though, that the first church age had to compare with the last church age. Because you had a holy convocation on the first day, and you had a holy convocation on the 7th day. The Alpha Bride and the Omega Bride had to be the same. We know everything in between, but there had to be a walk that we had to be turned back. We had to be turned back to the unleavened bread. We had got so much leaven, so much Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost. Sorry if I hurt your feelings. Any other denomination, right, even one you created of your own. That is all leaven. But God had to bring us back to the Feast of Unleavened Bread in this church age to bring us back to the pure, unadulterated Word of God, just like it was in the first church age. Amen? Oh, this is great. It's good. For 7 days, you're to eat bread without yeast. For 7 church ages, we've lived to not put anything in the unleavened bread or the Word of God. But here we go, start adding leaven. Here we go, start adding this, and we go start adding that. We're not supposed to do that. So that's why that 7th day had to come back to the first day. Had to be a holy convocation just like the first. We had to come back to what? We had to have a prophet in the end time to turn us back to that first holy convocation where there was no leaven. There was no leaven in that first church age. It was the pure, unadulterated Word of God.
Amen.
There was no leaven in Luther, but as soon as Luther died, they denominated and started adding leaven.
Right.
You saw, no, the just shall live by faith was the Word of God for that time. Amen? So thank God for that. Now look, this is where one of the commentators, I'm reading what he says. They ate unleavened bread for 30 days, which was then substituted by manna. So they got into their journey, they ate unleavened bread for 30 days, and then all of a sudden God says, I'm going to give you something to eat. It's going to be a whole lot better than that little flat piece of cracker that you're eating. I'm going to make you something that the Bible even says had everything in it that they needed. Everything in it they needed. And you know what? God gives us everything we needed. And guess what we do? Just like the children of Israel. We want some more. I want some meat. Give me some this. I want some of that. Complainers. Bread has always represented the Word of God. So watch. So what is this? Unleavened bread. They had to go into their house and they had to search out anything that was leavened, that had leaven or was going to be used as a leavening agent.
Right.
And they had to sweep it out and throw it away. Literally throw it away.
Right.
For 7 days.
Right.
When you killed your Passover lamb and you start on your journey, you start in the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right.
Because you got all this trash that you got to get out.
Right.
Perfect type of statue of perfect man.
Amen.
When they started their journey, they had to get leaven out. They had to get this out. They had to get that out.
Right.
You had to get your temper out. You had to get what? Your own knowledge. You had to get the virtue of God, the patience of God, the godliness of God, the brotherly kindness of God. We have been under the Feast of Unleavened Bread our whole entire Christian journey if you're going up that statue of a perfect man. Because you find a corner over here that's got a little dirt in it. Remember the dream that Sister Shepherd had? What come out the top? Leaven. Leaven came out of the top. Yeah, it was trash, but it was leaven. It was something that was in there that didn't need to be in there. So that's the same way with you and I. We come to church, we listen to the preacher, we study, we read our Bible, we pray to God to clean out our house.
Right.
And keep that leaven out.
Right. Amen.
For all those 7 virtues, those virtues all the way up to the top, you and I must. And Brother Brown tells us, I've got it here, I'll just quote it because you've heard it 1,000 times. Brother Brown said, no leaven among you. No leaven among the bride in the end time.
Right.
There'll be no adulterated word in the end time bride.
Right.
She'll be straight on the word or she'll have nothing.
Right.
Amen?
Right. Amen.
So we come to perfection. So we look at the unleavened bread typing our journey up the statue of a perfect man. To where we walk into that room and we find a little something that God don't like. Right. And we got to get it out.
Right.
Sweep it out. Get it out of there, because we got another feast coming.
Yeah.
We've got another feast coming. And we've got another feast coming. We've got seven feasts in our journey. If Aaron was here, he told me the other day that some guy, and this is, it's just how everything types. You can type cell phone numbers if you want to. But there's a man typed the gestation period of a woman getting pregnant going all the way to her seventh month where she can have a child. And it tells exactly everything, but I'm just telling you that everything's perfect. God has just put everything perfect in the Bible, even in our natural life. Amen? From Passover all the way to Tabernacles. But remember, Jesus fulfilled or had something to do literally with these first four feasts.
Yeah.
Everybody got that?
Yep.
From Passover, he was killed. Amen?
Yep.
On the cross.
Right.
He stayed in the tomb on the day of unleavened bread. Got all the leaven out. He was still a human. He was a human being. He had a human body. And then the Feast of First Fruits, which we're going to talk about later, is always the next day after the Sabbath. The Sabbath was on Saturday. Jesus resurrected on Monday to fulfill. And I got scripture where he talks about him being, I think it's John or one of them talks about him being the first fruit. The first one to resurrect out of this earth was Jesus Christ. And then what did he do? He said, "You tarry in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high on the day of Pentecost," which is 50.
Yeah.
The day of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, they had to wait seven Sabbaths.
Yeah.
And then Jesus Christ came back in spirit form into his bride. And then now it's been a long time. It's been all these months until you get over to the seventh month. And then look what we've got to do. This is, folks, fall feast is for us.
Right. Amen.
We have to go through the first four to even be included in the next three.
Amen.
Same way with the children of Israel. Listen, there was three feasts that a male always had to come to. Jesus had to do it too, because that's when they saw him in the temple at 13. And the several different times during his life, you look in the Bible and you have to go here, here, and here. Three feasts that you had to go if you were a male of a certain age. You had to go here, here, and here. I wonder why that is. You got to get born again, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your tabernacle. Not a booth you go set out in the woods, but in your tabernacle. We've heard the trumpet. Our Day of Atonement. You know what Day of Atonement is? It's to realize you're nothing. Realize you didn't do it. That's what Brother Dale's been preaching. He's been preaching the Feast of Atonement. Chosen in him. It's not us crying out to God. God called us. Now, God may have called us to a preacher or whatever, and then you started crying out, but it was because God called you first. On the Feast of Trumpets. He's calling you to come up higher. Everybody good? Say amen.
Amen.
The children of Israel had a job to do. Let's read this real quick. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. "Your glory is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" You can drop one little speck of leaven in and it'll just leaven the whole pan.
Right.
So one speck of sin. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump."
Right.
Oh please, Lord, let me be a lump. That's what it says.
Right.
"That you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened."
Right.
"For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us go into the Feast of Unleavened Bread." That's what he's saying. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Where does that come from? Malice, wickedness, all that needs to go away. I'm telling you, folks, that is one of the most ill-taught subjects in this message. Preachers don't know nothing about that. And I'll say that on the internet right now, and I got a phone, you can call me. They don't teach. Sure, they may teach a growth development, or they may teach. But that's specific in the Bible to perfect the saints. Amen. We got to get these virtues. Right. We've got to get this unleavened. We got to get this leaven out of us.
Glory.
That we may be a new lump.
Right.
I want to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Listen, there's no leaven going to heaven.
Right.
Man, that's pretty good. I just thought of that. Thank you, Lord. But no, there's no leaven in heaven.
Right.
It's unleavened bread.
Right. Amen.
Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Or let me say, a leaven of a past day.
Right.
Luther, Wesley, whatever you want to say, your old ideas.
Yeah.
But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Yeah.
I was talking to the Lord the other day. I said, Lord, you know, there was two things happened to me in the past few months that the Lord knew my heart. I don't care what anybody else thought. The Lord knew my heart. And one of them was this thing that we got coming up. Somebody brought it to my attention the other day that we kind of were going out of our comfort zone and letting people come in this weekend. And I never thought of that. God is my witness. I never thought of that. I just wanted the young people to get together and have a service to where God could help the young people. And like I said, I'm standing here. I never in my mind thought of that. And I said, Lord, you know my heart. My heart is, the sincerity I have is for the young kids to come together and have a service. I said, so you keep that disease or whatever you want to call it, you keep that thing away from here. Because we're sincere. I'm sincere. I want the kids to get together, and he knows my heart. I did not think that. Usually I think out things. I'm kind of like mama. I try to think 3 or 4 steps ahead. But I just really didn't. And it was something else happened in my life that I thought, Lord, I never had that thought. It wasn't anything bad. But you just don't think ahead, and you go, why didn't I think of that? Well, maybe the Lord kind of lets you go through these things and get into that situation and then go, Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart. I in no way did I want anything to be different than what it is. So, but I was reading, and actually when I was reading this, I read that and I thought, well, Lord. And that's why that God knew the integrity of David's heart. He knows the integrity of your heart. There might be some things that we do that are not pleasing to God, but he knows the integrity of your heart. I want this church to grow.
Right.
Not in numbers. Not in numbers. I want this church to grow up that statue of a perfect man. I want us to realize we are in a feast of unleavened bread. We are being preached unleavened bread. So if you're being preached unleavened bread and you eat it, guess what? You become unleavened bread. But if you start adding stuff into it, you get in trouble. Amen? Let me read this real quick. Then we'll close right here. I ain't even been going an hour. Brother Brown said, God's only provided a place of worship. No leaven among you. Just leave that right there. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Now, what is the Godhead? The Godhead bodily among you. That's the Jesus Christ coming back, the form of the Son of Man, as he promised in Luke 17:30 and all the different things, when the Son of Man would come back to the earth. So now in the same message, let's read this right here, what Brother Brown said. See, you've got to get in that right place before he will receive your sacrifice. Now, for those of you, Bob, not you, but for those of you that are out there on the internet, I interpolated.
Yeah.
Because that's not in that quote.
No.
Sorry. But I put it in there so you know what it was.
Right.
Is everybody okay with that? You start adding too, and
you
have to be careful when you do these things.
Yeah.
But, because look, if not, then if you didn't read way up before, if you didn't have this, you wouldn't know where he was reading.
Right.
So I just added that in there and colored it for reference. Because somebody will beat you up about that. All right, watch. In the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there, thou shalt eat no leavened bread in it. What does that typify in the sacrifice? Don't mix it with any creed. Got to be the word. No leavened bread. Leaven is the, you know what a leaven is in anything. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The whole lump is the body. And that's a capital B, so that's the whole body of Christ. The whole lump is the body. You can't put one speck of denomination or creed into Christ.
Right.
No, sir, it won't work. You remember the last Thursday night's message. Your old husband must be dead. Your new husband is the Word.
Amen.
7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread therein. He's reading in Deuteronomy. 7 days, what does that typify? The complete 7 church ages, 7 days. Why'd they have to eat it in 7 days? Before what? Before going out.
Right.
Folks, before we get to the promised land, we got to get out of this church age.
Right.
There is no other church age.
Right.
This is it.
Right.
The whole church age from the beginning to the end has to live only on the Word of God of that age.
Right.
So your Roman creed, Methodist, Baptist, and Pentecostal creeds, all dead.
Right.
All dead. Because then he said, no leaven, no leaven among you, the complete church.
Right.
But I want you to be careful. Because when we get into the Feast of Pentecost, we're going to have to talk about some leaven.
Right.
Because there's 2 loaves that's got to be fixed.
Right.
But that's okay. It all types right in there together. So I want to show you something real quick before we close. This is what they ate. If Brother Anderson can pull this up. That is called matzo. We bought some. Oh, Anderson's over here. That's okay. He put it up there for me. But I want you to look at the type. Now, this is what Israel. Jim bought me some of this one time. It's just a plain. It ain't as good as the communion bread, that's for sure. But look at the symbolism that they don't even know when they make this matzo. This is unleavened bread. This is what they eat during unleavened bread. Now, you can buy this in a little box. It's called matzo. And matzo actually means unleavened bread. But I want you to look. What are these? They put holes in it. And they put stripes in it. They don't even know they're showing that Jesus Christ had to have holes.
Right.
The unleavened bread, the very man, the unleavened bread of the Word of God, they're typing him right there.
Yeah.
There's the stripes,
yep. Right.
And there's the holes.
Yeah.
And they don't even know why they do that. The only thing they do understand, there was one commentator said, he said the reason they roll it and put holes in it was to keep it from bubbling up. You know, when you bake it, it has that little humps every once in a while. But you know what? We know what that is. If we were to take that, see, when we take the communion, we don't make it like that. But we realize that his body was broken for us.
Glory.
That he took all those stripes
right.
for me.
Right.
All those holes that he had in his hands and his feet, he took for me.
Right.
And he's, even now in the 21st century, they're making the bread to typify who he really is. But you and I, come on, folks. They're doing every bit of this, but they're blinded. But they're blinded for me and you. They're blind to that, Brother Luis. You could take that cracker over there and say, look, you put Jesus on a cross, and here's the stripes, and here's the holes, and they're just going to look at you. So, well, Elijah hadn't come, so the Messiah's not here yet. And you go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, well, there has been one here. But they're blind. With so much that they do and all these rituals and all these feasts that they did for all these several thousand years, they never realized they hung him on a cross.
Right.
But one day when me and you get out of here, there's going to be 2 witnesses go to Israel.
Right.
And they're going to tell 144,000 people. I can just see one of them picking up one of these crackers and saying, look, you see this right here? You put the holes in the Messiah.
Yeah.
And you striped his back.
Right.
Because what the Bible say in Zechariah, they look and say, where did you get those scars? Where did you get those stripes? He says, in the house of my friends. And they're going to mourn and they're going to weep. And they're going to say, oh Lord, we've killed the Messiah we've been looking for. But remember the two witnesses, they're going to say, hold on. It was done to preserve and to get a bride of Jesus Christ and take us out of the way. And you and I know every step, everything that goes on in these feast days. It would be a desire of mine if we could go spend a year in Israel and just watch them go through it. Because they still go through these. They just don't have a temple. But they still, what they do now is, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they kind of make it a game. I was reading it last night. They make a game out of it. They hide leaven in their house and let their kids try to find all the leaven that's in the house. Well, see, that's natural because they're having to look natural. Their eyes are blinded. But I believe when their eyes are open, they're going to look at every one of these and go, oh, Passover, Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, right. Trumpets, Tabernacles,
right.
Atonement. We've killed the Messiah.
Right.
And we sit right here every year. And we depicted every journey of that group of people that's already gone into glory called the Bride of Jesus Christ. I can't see nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere can I read that I can't see the bride. Nowhere. Nowhere can I see. In all these feast days, in all the sacrifices, when Solomon had a temple, let's stand to our feet, musicians come. Remember when Solomon dedicated the temple? They said there were so many sacrifices they couldn't even count them.
Right.
But you know what happened though? One day Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he got off. He got a little leaven in his journey. And he went after some strange gods. Just because he didn't do. Because God told him, said, hey, you do what I tell you to do, and you'll never have a problem. Never have a problem. But when he started doing what he did, every king, if you'll read, I'm reading through Kings and Chronicles. Read the book of Kings. It's like a roller coaster ride. You got little Asa comes in, and I think of Asa, Compton. You think of Asa. Asa comes in as a little boy, and he does what God wants him to do, and then he has two or three sons, and they go back to doing what Ahab did. And then you have another son come out of all that, and you got Josiah. And he raises everything back up. And then Josiah has two or three kids, and one of them's mama kills all the other ones and puts him up as a king. Have you ever read those? You read the book of Kings. It's kind of like it's kind of like our life. You know, we're going real good. You know, God said, if I do this, you know, I do this. And listen, we don't live by do's and don'ts, but you know what? That word of God tells us what to do and what not to do.
Right.
All right. But it's not do's and don'ts. We do it as a love affair, but sometimes we get off on our own self. We put a little leaven in when God tells us not to. And we get in big trouble. But God said, just walk in my ways. 7-day feast of unleavened bread takes us right up the stature of a perfect man. And takes us into a place to where there's no leaven among us. One mind, one accord, no denominational idea. We don't have thoughts that are contrary. Now, we have thought, human thoughts, but I mean word thoughts that are not contrary to God's word. Because why? We have the mind of Christ. Isn't that what Paul told us? If you got the mind of Christ, you've got the mind of the unleavened bread.
Amen.
We're the ones that put leaven in there all the time. Go ahead, let's sing a song. God bless you.
288 in the Red Book.
What is it now?
Jesus coming soon. 288.
Okay. 288 in the Red Book.
Sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear. Now is that stay. Humble your heart to God. Saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod. Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead, all the ones that have took that Passover, they're waiting in another dimension, waiting on us to get all the leaven out so that they can come back here. Because they're in the place of unleavened bread already. They're going to walk back in here. They're going to step back in that body, and they're going to be changed. It will come very fast. Trumpets will sound. We've already heard the trumpet. We've already heard the message. We've been told we're under the Feast of Tabernacles. We're at the end, folks. Not God tabernacled in a wood building. God tabernacled in a flesh building. Like he always wanted. Be or if you have a need, we'll sing us right here to be dismissed. Pray for us on Saturday. Please come if you can. But we will be live streaming so you can watch from your home. But we'll have regular service on Sunday, just like we always do. Jesus is coming soon. You're dismissed. Night or noon. Go with God. We better come.